thank you for that wonderful scripture reading. We'll save that for when I do preach on that. We'll redo it. Good morning, family. Oh, I'm way over here. I thought I was leaning to the left there.
Turn this thing off. Just leave it.
Okay. There we are. Now we're more evenly distributed. Okay. Good to see you all here. Are you happy today? Are you in the right place? Amen. Okay. Those of you who are not happy, you're in the right place too. Because the church is where you should go when you feel happy and sad. Isn't that true? Amen. I just wanted to make one further announcement. There's one other insert in your bulletin about the resurrection musical that we're having. I'm calling it Raised to Life, where we will have wonderful music. Right, Shelly? Is she in here? No. And we're going to have some testimonies. Isn't that right? Yes. I'm looking for the people who are doing the testimonies. That will be Sarah Chance and Shauna Chance Campbell will be doing some testimonies. Can't wait for that. Let's have the word of prayer and we'll get right to it. Oh, by the way, that's April 8th. Mark your calendars, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for allowing us to be here to on this high Sabbath where we're having communion, Lord. I ask that you would help us to see your lessons that you have for us. Help us to know that you did this for us. In Jesus' name, amen. To just me, you guys are starting out a little slow today. Okay, everybody stand up, if you can. Let's do this. Come on. Let's get that blood circulating. Wave to everybody. Hello, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Yeah, okay. Now that we got that, you know you can be seated. Now that I know you're alive, okay. Well, today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 33. Talking about the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, communion, whatever you'd like to call it. It is fundamental belief number, anybody know? Number 16. And, you know, I'll save that for later. Okay, so in March 1911, there was a fellow by the name of Arthur Brisbane. And he was in a gathering of advertisers trying to convince them to use photographs in their advertisement. Isn't that interesting? Nowadays, we take that for granted, don't we? We're bombarded with images 24/7. And he came up with this phrase and he said, "A picture is worth 1,000 words," right? And isn't that true, that sometimes a photo can portray something that the pastor has the trouble explaining? Well, like I said, we have lots of pictures these days. We're constantly absorbing images into our brains, unfortunately, for some of them, trying to sell us things, right, that we don't need, trying to tell us who we need to be and what we need to do. Isn't that true? Trying to influence us. Well, God speaks to us in pictures also. He speaks to us in word pictures. The one I think thinking about the most is Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, where there was a flood of water. And God said that he would no longer destroy the earth with a flood of water. And he put something in the heavens. What did he put? A bow, right? A rainbow. By the way, that's a word picture of God's mercy, that he would not ever again, his promise was that he would not destroy the earth with a flood of water, contrary to what people are using it for nowadays. And he also speaks to us in a word picture of the Lord's Supper. You know, a lot of us think about the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, communion, as something we do for God. We come to communion to do it for God. That's not what communion is about. Communion is about what God has done for you, is doing for you, will do for you. You don't gain any extra merit for taking the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, communion. You're not doing this for God. There is no, you gain no extra, sanctification, as our Catholic friends believe. This is not a sacrament where you gain any holiness. You do not become more holy for taking the Lord's Supper. And so a lot of times we come and we go, I'm doing this for God. No. You're doing this in remembrance of what God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Today we're going to find five practical actions in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 33. How many?
Five
practical actions. And the first one's going to be in verses 23 through 25. Try to do this as quickly as possible. I know we don't want to be here forever. So it says here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, which he had, after he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my new will and testament, in my blood. This do ye as often as you think of me." So the first practical action, number one, is, for those of you taking notes, is he wants you to look back. Jesus says, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." And there's two things he wants you to do in remembrance of him, right? You have the what? The emblems. The bread and the juice, the wine, right? Unfermented wine, by the way. I don't think Jesus had corrupt blood, so. So what is the bread a symbol of? The body of Christ, right? The body of Jesus. But also, what I believe also, in addition to that, is that it's also a symbol of his obedient life that he lived for who? For you, right? The Lord proved that you can live a life without sinning. Do I have a witness in this room that believes that you can live without sin?
Amen.
Oh, I thought some people knew that the Holy Spirit had some power. Does the Holy Spirit have power? Can he keep you from sinning? Can he equip you? Amen. That wasn't even in my notes. But according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, "Having found himself fashioned as a human being, Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So, not just his sacrifice on the cross where his body was placed, but also his obedient life all through his life. He was obedient. So the bread is a sign of his body and his life of obedience. Now the wine, the juice, is what a symbol of what?
Blood.
His blood, absolutely. So what do you call blood that's inside the body? What's that a symbol of? Life, right? What is blood outside of the body? What is that a symbol of?
Death,
absolutely. So the blood, the wine is a symbol of Jesus' blood and a sign and a symbol of his sacrifice for who? For you, right? He poured it out. It was shed for you is poured out, the word means. In Matthew 26, 28. So, not just on the cross either. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane for you. He having the sins placed upon him, past, present, and future, as he felt the presence of his Father being drawn away, and he sweat great drops of blood for you. As he was tortured and whipped and scourged, he bled for you. As he drug his cross and down the blood-stained streets of Jerusalem, he did that for you. And as he was put on the cross and nails driven into his hands, blood spurting out, a spear thrust in his side, he bled for you. So you have the blood that is a symbol of Jesus' sacrifice, of the bread which is a symbol of Jesus' obedient life. So you look back at that, look back at what God has done for you in the past. He has saved you, has he not? Those of you who are saved. Practical action number two, we'll find in really the same verses, because it says here in verse 24 and 25, he says here, this is my body, which what? What's the word he uses? Is broken for you. Here's the cup of my New Testament, which is given for you. So, Jesus wants you to look at the present. You look back and you look at the present because for what God is doing for you now. A lot of us look at our testimony and go, well, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. Jesus saved me. But you need to tell people what he's done for you lately. Jesus is working. Not only has he saved you in the past, he saved you in the present, and he will deliver you in the future, will he not? Do we have that hope? Amen. So, how is Jesus present in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table of communion? How is he present? We don't believe, as our other denominations believe, that in transubstantiation. I was just studying that actually in my office this morning about how a Catholic priest, they are told, can say a phrase, Jesus will obey him and has to obey him and come down, and you can lock him in a box. You can put him in your pocket and take him with you. And he has to go. We don't believe in that, do we? Well, that was good. I'm glad one person said no. I thought I was in a Seventh-day Adventist church, so I'm happy about that. No, we don't believe in that. But God, Jesus, is present with us in our midst to help us in our time of need. As we partake in the emblems, he is present here with us, helping us through troubled times. Now, let's go on to our practical action number three. We're going to find that, I believe, in verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The word here for show is the word for preach, to proclaim. Didn't know you were preaching today, did you? You are giving the message today. When you get in your car, when you get dressed up, and you get in your car, and your neighbors see you, you are proclaiming the gospel. You're on the way to the Lord's table. When they see you driving in the car, and the policeman says, oh, that must be a Seventh-day Adventist, they're going the speed limit. You're preaching the gospel. I know y'all speed to get here on time. When you're in the parking lot, and you haven't argued with the person sitting next to you, your family's acting like angels, and you walk through the parking lot and tell everybody how blessed you are, you're preaching the gospel. When you take the emblems, you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes. He wants you to look forward into the future. to look forward to Jesus' coming, His second coming, His deliverance of His people, to take them to with Him, that where He may, they shall be also, right? In Matthew chapter 24, he says, when they ask Him, what's the sign of your coming? When will the end be? And He says, well, when you've seen all these things, then it's near, even at the door. Amen? What things? Anybody here heard of any pestilence lately? And how about earthquakes? In diverse places. Like all the way over here in Eureka and Arcata. So we have seen these signs, haven't we? That Jesus is, His coming is imminent. It is near, isn't it? So we need to look forward. We need to look back at what He has done. Look to what He is doing in your life now. And look forward to what He will do in your life. John says in John chapter, I believe it's chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, that when he told his disciples that he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Church, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, he said. In my house is many mansions. I got one off just over the hillside. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, he says, I will return and take you with me so that where I am, there you may be also. That's good news, isn't it? Look back, look now at the present, and look forward. Number four. We're going to move on to verses 27 through 32. This is the long one. Prepare yourselves. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, we're going to find out what that is, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Does that mean I'm supposed to examine somebody? Is that what it says? No, it says, let a person examine themselves, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For, verse 29 says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. One of the reasons we do not ask you or require or request that or endorse that you have your unbaptized children partake in the emblems is because they don't understand. They have not been through the study. They don't quite get all the depth of what Jesus has done for them. They don't discern the Lord's body. Yet. I like that. Yet. So we don't, and I don't want to be responsible for somebody's damnation. How about you? I don't want a millstone around my neck. How about you? No. Verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord chastens those He loves so that they won't be condemned with the world. Amen? That's why Jesus and the church always discipline with redemption in mind. That is the end goal, is it not? Thank you. Hey, I'm sorry if you don't like church discipline. Discipline and discipleship come from the same root word. Discipline is part of discipleship. We should not shy away from conflict in the church. We should sometimes seek it out so that we can disciple each other into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Now, what does it mean to take the emblems unworthily? Well, we found out that it's not discerning the body of Christ, not understanding fully the sacrifice, the obedient life and the sacrifice of Jesus. And it says if you do that, you can be damned for that. That means to be in peril of hellfire. Amen? So the fourth action, am I up to number four? Number four is to look in. You look back, you look into the present, you look forward, and then you look in. Be introspective. In John chapter 13, we have an ordinance that we partake in that Jesus himself instituted at the Last Supper, what's normally called the Last Supper, don't we? We call it now the ordinance of humility in... Oh, it's in your bulletin even. And I preached a sermon on it. Responsibility, amen. Is that a prize? I'd give it to you. The ordinance of humility and responsibility, because when Jesus came to the supper, he noticed something. He noticed that the disciples had two needs, one physical and one spiritual. And he met both of those. First off, they needed to humble themselves. Number two, they had dirty feet. So he washed them and he humbled himself. And that's why one of the reasons we follow this ordinance of, those of you who don't speak Adventese, we call that foot washing. We wash one another's feet. One of the reasons we like to plan ahead and announce that we're having communion is so that people can prepare their hearts, so they can reconcile with each other and reconcile themselves to God. We need to look in. And there's three questions that will help you to look in. Those questions are, how many questions?
Three,
thank you. Number one, do I believe? Do I believe what Jesus has done for me in the past? Do I believe he's actually working in my life now? Do I actually believe that Jesus is coming again soon? Do I believe that? That's one of the questions you need to ask yourself. Number two, am I willing to believe? Am I willing to take a chance? Those of you who haven't accepted Jesus, am I willing to believe that Jesus actually died for me on the cross? That he lived a life of obedience for me so that I also can follow in his footsteps? Am I willing to believe that he's coming again and that he's working in my life even now? Am I willing to believe that? And number three, am I repenting? John chapter 1 verse 9, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, what he said, right? If we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and to
forgive.
How many sins?
All
sins. And to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Now there is a couple of heresies out there that hopefully you have not run into, and I'm not going to give names so that you can look it up. But there's one that says it's going on out there that says that Jesus didn't die in substitutionary atonement for your sin. That he didn't die on the cross to pay the penalty for the law that you broke. Some people seem to think that that would make Jesus a legalist. Jesus was a legalist. He was so legalistic that he believed that he should die and pay the penalty for your sin. They think it's nothing more than something to show you what sin will do in your life. That Jesus on the cross is just another teaching aid. Brothers and sisters, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's another heresy out there that says you no longer need to repent. If at one time you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you no longer need to repent. That's a heresy. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I'll say that publicly. We just read a text that says, if we confess our sins. What does repent mean? It means turning from your sin. That's exactly what the word means. You mean I no longer have to go before God after I have sinned yet again and tell Him and ask Him for His forgiveness? I no longer have to do that? That's not biblical. That's not true, and it's a lie. And that will get you in danger of hellfire. I pity the people who teach these heinous heresies. Okay, back to our action steps. We're going to be in verse 33, and this is going to be the last one, number 5. Oh, we're almost home. All right, verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. The number 5 action is to look around. Look around at each other. Tarry for one another. Wait for one another. Look for your fellow family church member. Do you miss them when they're gone? Do you call them when you haven't seen them? Do you go visit their house? Do you look for them? Do you have a sense of I just can't wait to see so-and-so? I haven't seen them in a while. I hope they're doing okay. Or I haven't seen them all week. I hope they're there. Right? Do we feel that way about our fellow people here? That's a question you have to ask yourself. But we need to look around. Don't be afraid to make eye contact. I'm looking at you. Right? I can't even see your eyes. Don't be afraid to pray for one another after service. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable with each other. We are family here. We all have issues in our lives. I'm not saying you got to tell everybody all your junk, because please, some people you can't trust with your stuff, right? Be discerning. But don't be afraid of each other. Be anxious to see each other. Be happy when you do see each other. Even the people you might have trouble getting along with. Amen? That's what the Scripture teaches us. The conclusion, number 1, was what? Look back. Number 2, look at the present. See what Jesus is doing for you now. And then what? Look forward. Somebody's going to get an A in the class. Number 4, look. Look in. And number 5, look around. That's not so hard, is it? That is a Bible study on fundamental belief number 16, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, communion. The good news is Jesus is coming. But right now, I look in a glass darkly, don't I? But then when He comes, I'll be known I will know as I am known, right? I will see Him face to face. Is that true? That's what does it say? That it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. If you want to write that down. And right now we walk by what?
Faith.
By faith, not by. I do that every day. You can laugh. I do that all the time. But you know what? If you go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, here's the good news. That wasn't even the good news. That was not the good news. That's in the future, right? What about now? Well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and sup with him and him with me." You don't have to wait. The gospel is not some pie in the sky by and by. It has impact on your life now. And today is the acceptable day of salvation. Amen? Today Jesus says He's knocking at the door. Today He's saying He wants to have the Lord's Supper with you. Today He's working in your life. Well, we're going to have Well, we have the ordinance of humility and responsibility, foot washing now. I'm supposed to give you some instructions. In your bulletin, it shows where those things take place. Men with men, women with women, and families together. Again, I would admonish you, we do not require, recommend, or even endorse having your unbaptized children take in part of the emblems. But how better to teach your family about the humility of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, than to have them participate with you in the foot washing. Now, when we come back, I don't know if they're going to mark the rows or if you could sit every other row. It will help the deacons to serve you better. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I will dismiss you. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for teaching us about your supper, what you have done, what you are doing, what you will do in our lives. Lord, thank you for teaching us that we need to look in at ourselves and we need to look around at each other. And Lord, as we go forth into the communion ceremony and foot washing, that we know that you will be present there with us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for being our God. I ask you to bless the folks. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.